This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the outside forever, Mo and Dazzling Gem. Mo Tom got stopped hard. It's Gun Runner. Gun Runner for Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby.
Lani gets to you, Change. Polar River still three quarters of a length away. Lani in front. It's Japan's Derby. Lani has beaten Polar River, You Change, and Vale Dory.
Presented by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Double Diamond Farm, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
More Spirit confidently handled, gets a left-handed reminder down. He's trying to get them. Here he comes. And More Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Creator of sudden breaking news. Creator's almost there. It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Just 1 week remaining until the first Saturday in May, and that Run for the Roses, the 142nd edition. As a matter of fact, we are exactly 7 days, 10 hours, 31 minutes, and 54 seconds away from that Run for the Roses, and can't wait to get over there to Churchill Downs next week. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff with you in our Lexington studios, welcoming everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM satellite radio, that's channel 93, and everyone tuning in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Arkansas, and across the country. Happy to have you with us on this pre-Derby edition of the Equine Forum.
Yeah, it's getting close.
You sound so excited.
I am excited.
Giddy with excitement.
Well, I don't get giddy. Very rarely do I get giddy.
Do you have your Derby horse picked out yet? Do you know who it is? I've been asked that question 100 times.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Especially yesterday. For some reason, everybody wanted to know yesterday. You know, I'm still in the Nyquist camp, and I think Exaggerator and Gunrunner are right there.
Yeah,
those are my top three. And of course, I want to see him train up to the race. And starting Monday morning, I will be out there.
I have to be one of the few people that is not in the Exaggerator camp. I don't even like him a little bit.
It's really funny because he's got the best numbers by far. He was just an impressive winner of the Santa Anita Derby, which has produced the winners of what?
Correct.
Three out of the last four, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a good race
lately. I don't know what there is about him that you don't like, but it's the same question that I have about people.
Well, going into the Santa Anita Derby, were we viewing Exaggerator as a major Kentucky Derby contender? Even his trainer was talking about maybe he's going to be better at a mile, and all of a sudden he jumps up, runs a huge race in the slop. First of all, he may have run his Kentucky Derby race in the Santa Anita Derby, right?
Right.
So there's one, number one. Number two, it was on a sloppy racetrack. I think there's too many question marks to take what I think is going to be a relatively short price on Exaggerator.
Do you think he's going to be the favorite?
I think he could be second or third choice.
Yeah, okay.
But that's going to put him at what, 5-1?
If it rains on Derby Day, do you like him more?
It never rains on Derby Day. Just ask John Asher.
Yeah.
Well, it's always 75 and sunny.
John Asher could have been a trainer. He speaks with forked tongue Kent DeSormo.
DeSormo. He may not be wrong because the extended forecast is for good weather on Derby Day. So,
well, you know, it changes every week. Last week, everybody was saying, oh, it's going to rain. Going to rain. So it's like, I don't know. But it's just, to me, you got to at least think that the horse has a chance to win, right? He may not win the Derby. Only one horse is going to win the Derby, right?
That was profound.
We've never had a Derby dead heat. Yeah, well, that's never happened in the history, right? Right. That has a lesser chance than a horse that has the Apollo curse.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. I think you got to consider him a major player. And we'll see. We'll see how he comes up to it. But, yeah, I think those are the top three. And, you know, I have a little soft spot in my heart for Majestico. I thought his race against Nyquist was really good in the Florida Derby. He's kind of like one of my underneath horses. I'm interested to see what happens with Fellowship if he gets in the field. Cause,
what do you do with Destin? Nobody's talking about Destin, but yet he's beaten all of these other horses that have come back and won.
There's another horse that I couldn't say, you know, Destin has no chance. I'm not in love with the way he's looked.
Yep.
Training. He gets very sweaty every morning. He just doesn't look super comfortable at Churchill Downs. And you'd think a horse that spent most of his time in Florida wouldn't get overly sweaty here. It's a little bit of a concern to me. Plus he's had, you know, the 5 weeks off, but then you say people will tell you, you know, Gunrunner's had a lot of time off too. But Gunrunner just seems to be such a progressive horse. He just keeps continually moving forward. And I think, you know, he's got some seasoning. I think he's a pretty nice horse, Gunrunner. So, I don't know. It's going to be a good Derby, I think.
Well, speaking of Gunrunner, we're going to hear from trainer Steve Asmussen later in the first half of the program. Jenny Reese, who everybody knows is a 5-time Eclipse Award winner. She is, of course, now retired from the Courier-Journal, probably working harder now than she did when she was working at the Journal. She has been on site at Churchill Downs the past couple of weeks, and she's been kind enough to send us several interviews with trainers that, and even jockeys that have met with the press. And many of those interviews are posted on our website right now. You can listen to the entire interview at Horse Racing Radio Network with horseracingradio.net with guys like Steve Asmussen, Bob Baffert, Chad Brown, Florent Giroux, all of those interviews posted on our website. Today, you're going to hear little clips of those here on the Equine Forum from Asmussen, from Baffert, and from Chad Brown, even Dallas Stewart getting a little shout out here this morning on the program with Tom's Ready. So, a lot of different things coming your way here on the show, including an interview with Jenny Reese at 9 o'clock Eastern as she stops by live from Churchill Downs to tell us what's happening as we get closer to Derby 142.
Well, looking forward to all of that, and I don't think there's any being on this planet that Jenny Reese loves more than her husband, other than Gunrunner.
Yeah. I think she, and we're going to ask her about that when she joins us. And by the way, in the interest of full disclosure, we are recording this program on Friday morning. You're hearing it, of course, on Saturday. Jenny, when she joins us, will update us on all the workers from Friday morning. So keep that in mind. We'll remind you when Jenny comes on at 9 o'clock Eastern as well. Gary Falter from OwnerView will be here to tell us about their next conference coming up in association with Breeders' Cup Week at Santa Anita. He'll be here right around 9:25 Eastern. And Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, will tell us about Exaggerator and all the Derby horses on the West Coast. And he'll look ahead to their opening day, which comes up this Thursday at the Great Race Place. When we come back, we're going to hear from Lori Douglas from Farm Paint as she made the trip into the studio to visit with me, as she does each and every year at this time. And she's going to tell you about some of the products that are critical to keeping your farm, your house, whatever it might be, looking nice this spring. She'll do that when we come back on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Kentucky Derby runs here.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby!
HRRN is proud to be your home for the 142nd Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Adina Spring Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside, three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch to win it, Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multimillionaires.
Game on, dude, going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude, and Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Ghost Zephyr kicking clear, and Ghost Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million, AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match strides with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Power.
It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Passion.
Lonnie in front. It's Japan's Derby. Lonnie has beaten Polar River, U Change, and Vale Dory.
Performance.
Mo Heyman pulls away. And Mo Heyman remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire who was once again number one in 2016, with three major Kentucky Derby contenders, Arkansas Derby winner Creator, UAE Derby hero Lonnie, and Mo Heyman, dominant winner of the Holy Bull and Fountain of Youth. In all, Tappet has already produced seven graded stakes horses and four graded stakes winners this year, and has once again proven to be a force in the sales ring as the leading worldwide two-year-old sire with an average of $870,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Three quarters in one, 11-1, and they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist and Mo Heyman in their bi-coastal battle at the top of the stretch. On the inside is Majesto in third. Nyquist has moved away. Mo Heyman has no answer today. On the inside is Majesto, and then comes Fellowship. Nyquist drifting out to the center of the track, but he's far in front, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Florida Derby. Majesto was second. Fellowship was third. Mo Heyman settles for fourth. And Sawyer's Mickey was fifth at a final time of 1 minute 49.11 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Florida Derby, and Nyquist getting the victory that afternoon did it very, very impressively. He is the likely favorite for the Run for the Roses 1 week from today, and he is the number one consensus pick by our pollsters in the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll, presented by Brisnet.com, which can be found on our website. You can see the entire top 20 along with comments on each of those 20 contenders. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. It's the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by Brisnet.com. And JT, one other cool thing that we've done in conjunction with Bris and partnering with them on this poll is that if folks are looking for past performances of all the Derby contenders, they can go there. They can get them for free. They're right at the top of the poll. So you see the top 20 horses, the consensus. You see the top 20 from each of our individual pollsters. And then right at the top, you have a link to click on free Brisnet past performances for all of the Derby horses. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. Nice information to have. You can get a big jump. I actually have mine printed out right here.
Ooh, and there you go. Look at that. We should tweet that out. We don't want to give away any secrets, right?
Well, it's not really secrets. I just exposed my top 3 hours.
Is that the Pontiff's homily?
Yes, as my old client Dick Gayson would say, pro-marked. he always called my form pro-marked.
All right, it's going to be a very busy show. We're going to talk a lot of Kentucky Derby. I told you you're going to hear from trainers Steve Asmussen, Bob Baffert, Chad Brown, and Dallas Stewart later in the first half of the program. But last week, Lori Douglas made a visit to the studio. She, of course, is with Farm Paint. All of these Equine Forum programs in the month of May are going to be presented by farmpaint.com. They are a longtime sponsor of the network, and we can't thank them enough for all of their support. And she did a great job of telling you why you should look at Farm Paint for all of your needs this spring, for your farm, for your house, whatever it may be. And here's that interview with Lori Douglas. And time now for our annual visit with Lori Douglas, who is with farmpaint.com, longtime supporter of the Horse Racing Radio Network. And we can't thank them enough for everything that they do to make these shows possible. And so many people have told us that they are using farmpaint.com products because of some of the different things that they've heard here on the program. And Lori, as always, a delight to catch up with you.
It's a delight to catch up with you all. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And thinking back on this past year, and you and I haven't had a chance to visit on this program for about 12 months, but we make this an annual event. And thinking back on everything that Farm Paint has accomplished in the last year, every year it seems like we're talking about how busy you are, but this year things have just kind of gone to another level.
Yeah, they actually have. My phone has been ringing off the hook. Especially now the weather's starting to really perk up and everybody's thinking paint, especially right before the Derby and wanting their farms to look beautiful. And contractors are stopping by every morning, every night. We're rocking and rolling right now.
And the phone calls are coming from all over the country. It's not just Central Kentucky.
Yes, all over the country. We get them from, you know, New York, Indiana, Texas, Florida, you name it, they're coming all over the country.
I think that's very important for people to realize. So many people tuning into this program now are listening throughout North America on Sirius XM. They're listening to our live internet streaming, either across the United States or overseas or wherever they may be in the world. 163 countries made us their home for racing last year. So you think about that, and you think about the magnitude of Farm Paint and everything that you've done to expand it and grow it. It's pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah, we're so excited. I mean, we've done nothing but grow every year. And bottom line, we're not going anywhere.
Tell me about some of the products at Farm Paint.
Yeah, we actually sell, of course, as everyone knows, we sell farm paint, which includes barn and fence paint. We sell white elastomeric roof coatings. We also sell aluminum grade paints, below and above grade. We also sell a synthetic dustless arena footing. We also sell a dustless liquid that you put down on your rings. We guarantee no dust for 10 to 12 months, and there's a little touch-up you do every year after that, and that works really well also.
You know, you've told me before that one of the things you're most proud of is your black fence paint, which is an acrylic fence paint, and there are some qualities to this paint which really set it apart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you can buy water-based acrylic paints or latex paints just anywhere all over the country. What we have done, we've actually designed our paint with a very unique elastomeric polymer and a UV inhibitor. So all of that being said, has a lot of stretch to it. It has the ability to soak into the wood, allowing the wood to expand and shrink in the different weather patterns so you don't get the chipping, popping, peeling. More importantly, you get no fading with the UV inhibitors. A lot of times, you know, you're using an asphalt-based or a lacquer-based or an oil-based product. Very first thing that happens after about a year kind of fades out to like a blue-gray color, sometimes a brownish color. Ours stays very black, keeps its nice shine to it. So we think we've cracked the mold.
You know, I consider you to be somewhat of an expert on farm paint, of course. But what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're choosing paints?
You know, actually, a lot of it's price. You know, a lot of people will say, "Well, you know, you're $10 higher on the drum, or you're $4 higher on the pail." You know, it's really not about the price; it's about the quality. And we do offer an incredible price, but more importantly, a great quality of paint.
Yeah, and if you get the right product, you're only doing it maybe once, whereas with other products that maybe aren't as good, you're doing it multiple times.
Exactly. I don't care if you pay $20 extra on the drum or $50 extra on the drum. I can promise you, with using the farm paint products, we're going to last longer. You know, if you might not have to paint the next 3 to 5 years, whereas another product you might have to paint every year. You might have to paint every other year.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, you're still saving money.
Your black fence paint, people are using it not just on fences, but you also told me it's very good for metal roofs too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Metal roofs, metal gates, block walls. I mean, it's a very durable product.
All right. Outside of the paint, you mentioned dustless arena footing, and that's something you're installing at Thoroughbred Farms and Standardbred Farms and different farms throughout the United States. What is dustless arena footing, and why is it so good?
It's basically a polymer-coated silica sand with cotton fiber in it. So it's completely freeze-resistant, completely dust-free. You never have to water it. Very little grooming, dragging. It doesn't move away from itself. It's almost like riding on a posturepedic mattress or a mat. I mean, it's great for the horse's feet, great for the owners, riders. You know, no one's breathing in dust. I can't say enough good about that product. So,
who are some of the farms that have gone ahead and given you the endorsement with dustless arena footing and had you come out and put it in?
Oh yeah, we have it all over the country, but some of the local farms here in Kentucky, we've got it in a high profile round pen at Three Chimneys that they use for their stallions.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we also have it at Dixie Anna Domino. They use it in their exercisers. We just installed a big, beautiful outdoor ring at Diamond Creek Farm, which is a standardbred farm out in Georgetown, Kentucky. And then we also just installed a beautiful indoor ring in Lake City, Florida. We're right outside of Ocala.
No kidding.
For a big Arabian farm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're kind of rocking and rolling on that also.
And I would imagine that this is the products at Farm Paint are probably appealing to contractors as well, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every morning at the Farm Paint store, we have lots of trucks lined up picking up, you know, 5-gallon pails of white and black and aluminum roof coatings. And, yeah, so it's real big contractor business.
People listening to this may be saying, okay, well, that sounds great. It sounds like a great product. But how do I go about ordering Farm Paint products or learning more about them? How do they do it?
Basically, go to farmpaint.com, and there's a 1-877 number on there. It's 1-877-441-3276. That actually comes directly to my cell phone. So if you have any further questions that you may need help with, I can certainly answer anything. I can tell you how much paint you're going to need for your fences, how much you'll need for your barn, how much paint you will need for your roofs, coverage rates, and pricing, and we offer several discounts for the equine world. We have an equine savings discount. You mentioned the equine savings program. We can save you 15% on your paint. So pretty much anything you want to know is on farmpaint.com.
So you're really more of a consultant for people.
Pretty much.
I mean, I know you handle the sales side of it too, but really one of your tasks or jobs is to go out and work with people to find out what's going to be best for them.
Absolutely. And I pretty much do it all because I do, you know, I do take the orders and I take the phone calls. They come in at all hours of the day. So I do have a little bit of help on that end though, no doubt.
Visiting with Lori Douglas from farmpaint.com, longtime supporter of the Horse Racing Radio Network. We encourage you to support them as well for all the needs that you have on your farm anywhere throughout the United States. The phone number to call Lori directly, it's an 800 number, 877-441-3276. That number is also right there on the homepage when you go to their website at farmpaint.com. Now, when I go to farmpaint.com, I notice not just the dustless arena footing that you can learn more about, not just the barn and fence paint, but I also notice that there are several products for roof and foundation, driveways, if you're looking for different types of asphalt type of issues that you have, concrete, brick, paver, all of those items listed there as well.
Yes, absolutely. We sell several of those products as well. So we kind of got your quality coatings covered on farmpaint.com.
What's your best seller, the fence paint?
Our best seller is our FP300 acrylic fence and barn paint, which is our black paint that you see on all of these beautiful fences in the state of Kentucky.
So is this the time of year then that people want to be putting this fresh coat of paint on their fences?
Yes, absolutely. In
How
fact,
come? Why is the spring so important?
Well, it's so important. Well, a lot of people just want their fences to look beautiful for everybody coming in for the races, Keeneland, the Derby, you know. But all of that being said, this is just a great time of the year to beautify everything. Also, too, the fall is a really good time of the year to paint because your fences, your barns, all the wood has had plenty of time all summer long to dry out in the high heat. So that's all. Also a very big, you know, advocate. It needs to be dry, no moisture in the wood, that type of thing.
Yeah, I know you receive a lot of testimonials from people, Lori, and it just speaks to the quality of the products at Fence Paint, and that has to make you very proud, and it has to make you very comfortable when you go out and talk to people about it.
Oh, yeah. It's really become a very easy product to sell for me.
All right. Before we let you go, what are a couple of the things that you want people to know about farmpaint.com?
Basically, I just want you to know that we have your high-quality coatings in whatever manner you need them in, and we have great prices. Buy, direct, and save is our motto, and we have incredible customer service on all ends of it.
And again, you can buy nationwide. You can call 877-441-3276. We encourage you to do that right now. It'll go right to Lori's cell phone, or you can go to farmpaint.com to learn more and support them. They've been a huge supporter of us for a long time. And Lori, we can't thank you enough for that support, and we encourage people to give back to farmpaint.com.
You are very welcome. We are very, very happy with HRRN.
Thanks so much, Lori. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Mike.
All right, my thanks to Lori Douglas for taking the time to sit down with me last week here in the studio, and a lot of great stuff there and a lot of ways that you can benefit from calling farmpaint.com. We go from one longtime supporter to another, and that is the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. And each and every Saturday morning at this time, we bring you your Lexus Legends of the Turf story. After the story, we'll come back and hear from trainer Steve Asmussen, trainer Bob Baffert, and Chad Brown as they talk about the latest works from their Derby contenders. It's all next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On June 9, 1956, the field went postward for the running of the $50,000 Argonaut Handicap at Hollywood Park. In the field were Langoland Farms Porterhouse, who had whipped his chief rival in this field, Swaps, by a head in the last previous meeting of the two in the Californian, the very speedy Bobby Brocato with the master craftsman Johnny Longdon in the irons, and, of course, Swaps, who had come off an injury as a three-year-old to make an attempt at a third world record. Swaps had already notched world records for 1 1/16 miles and 1 mile and 70 yards. The Hollywood Park had been especially groomed to be as fast as a one-arm paper hanger in a four-room apartment with a two-hour deadline. The anticipation was high amongst the patrons on this day for the import of a possible record-breaking performance. Trainer Mish Tenney said flatly and openly that his horse, Swaps, would lower Citation's world mark of 1:33.3 for the flat mile, a record that had stood since 1949. As the horses broke from the starting gate, it was expected that the very speedy Bobby Brocato with Longdon in the saddle would go to the front to try to steal it. But Bill Shoemaker got Swaps out of the box like a rocket down along the fence, and he was not about to allow himself to get shut off by the speed horses outside of him going into the turn. Swaps established a clear lead going into the clubhouse turn. Shoemaker realized Longdon was resigned to playing the waiting game, settling in just off the pace with Bobby Brocato. Schumacher turned that strategy to his own advantage while keeping lots of horse in reserve, setting the early fractions. Swaps had an open lead all the way down the backside while turning in a 22 3/4, 45 1 for the half, and 108 2 for the first six panels. As the field swung through the far turn in the glistening California sunlight, Longdon made his expected move with Bobby Brocato, and with a quick burst of speed got his mount set up to Shoemaker's boot on the leader. The shoe went to the stick, cracking the flank of Swaps with a hard lick, and Swaps responded to again move clear. The Rex Ellsworth-own four-year-old held sway during the run down the lane, and all eyes were now on the teletimer, which flashed 1:33.1 as he hit the wire, a new world record. Bobby Brocato had been beaten by barely a length in a supremely game effort, and Porterhouse, in receipt of 9 pounds from Swaps, was 6 lengths further back in third. Swaps had clocked the last half mile in a most impressive 48 flat. It was a third world record he had chalked up, and he was, in no uncertain terms, to be regarded as one of the all-time greats on the racetrack. He was blessed with class, courage, and a tremendous amount of ability, a sure-fire recipe for greatness. You know, not all fast horses are great, but all great horses are fast, and Swaps was undeniably fast indeed. Many observers on the scene at Hollywood Park on that June day in 1956 felt Swaps could have gone faster if he'd been pushed in the early part of the race, but it was breathtakingly fast as it was. June 9, 1956, at Hollywood Park, in the Argonaut Handicap, the day Swaps set his third world mark.
And the late Pete Kulis with your Lexus Legends of the Turf story for this morning, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back with more here on the Equine Forum right after this short break. Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the stretch now of the Arkansas Derby, and the leader is still Gettysburg. Three quarters, 1:10-3. Gettysburg has the lead. Creator will not get the job done. On the outside, here's Whitmore coming on. Big Changes is next, and Creator is flying. Creator now strikes to the lead. Down the outside, Sudden Breaking News is coming late. Creator of Sudden Breaking News. Creator's almost there. It's Ricardo Santana. breaking news. Third is Whitmore. Fourth is Dazzling Gem in 150 flat.
Pete Aiello with the call of the Arkansas Derby creator. Big run from him. And according to his trainer, Steve Asmussen, he continues to improve and a very dangerous horse racing in the colors of Windstar Farm. And boy, he looks like he could be one of the ones to consider on the first Saturday in May. That is only 1 week from today. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are in our Lexington studios. That's all going to change. As of Tuesday morning, we will head over to Churchill Downs. We will be live on the backside at Churchill Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning to bring you our Derby Countdown shows, which are presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's. We'll have coverage of the KTA, KTOB Derby Trainer Dinner on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday evening at 5 o'clock Eastern, we'll bring you coverage of the Kentucky Derby Post Position Draw, which is presented by TwinSpires.com. And then on Friday, we're back with the Kentucky Oaks from 3 to 6. On Saturday, this program from Churchill Downs kicks it off, 8 a.m. Eastern. And then all of our undercard coverage from 2 to 5. And then that national Kentucky Derby broadcast, which comes up in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. That exclusive coverage coming your way on Horse Racing Radio Network, and you can visit our website to see a complete broadcast schedule. By the way, the Oaks coverage and the Derby undercard also presented by our friends at TwinSpires.com.
Yeah, it's going to be a great block of shows. Really looking forward to it.
People were feverishly writing that down, right? We hope you pulled over, by the way, if you're in your car. Don't write and drive.
No,
even,
bad idea.
Even the HRN schedule. I know that you know most people are clamoring for it, but...
Well, it's right there on your computer or... You can pull it up on your phone.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you can listen on your phone.
Yeah.
Listen worldwide. You'll be able to tune in throughout North America on Sirius XM to the majority of that programming. Want to thank them for their support on that. And, of course, you'll be able to stream us worldwide. HorseRacingRadio.net.
And people do in 163 nations.
All right. Enough patting ourselves on the back here.
I just
self-promotion.
I think it's really cool. I can't get over it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Well, speaking of Creator and that Arkansas Derby victory, Creator, one of two horses going to the post for trainer Steve Asmussen, who has yet to get that elusive victory in the Kentucky Derby, but he did get something else this week, Jude. He got word that he will now be one of the newest members of Horse Racing's Hall of Fame. He was inducted. He will be inducted in August. We're going to have that coverage of the Hall of Fame inductions and Steve's acceptance speech, and can't wait to get up there and do that. But boy, what an honor for Steve Asmussen, and well deserved.
Yeah, well, he's won pretty much everything there is to win except for the Kentucky Derby, which he has a big shot at it this year. And so that was good for Steve, and it's good that he's got a horse on the Derby trail that's very solid. And I can't wait to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, well, here's what he had to say about both Gunrunner, the Louisiana Derby winner, and Creator, the Arkansas Derby winner.
Could you talk about what each work was designed to do with Gunrunner not having run since the end of March?
We worked Gunrunner last Monday, me and Scott and Carlos and Florent, you know, thought that it was a very good work, but that he needed a little bit more of a blow. Saturday, they started the Derby break training. Think that the racetrack is not as tight then, you know, just a freshly harrowed and stuff. It seems early in the morning it's faster. And, been training him at that time since, and thought that we would get a good blow in him today, and think that's exactly what we got out of the work.
And with Creator, since he just ran 9 days ago?
Creator's coming around at the right time. I really like his focus, how much more professional he's been. Last 2-3 weeks, a month, and just trying to keep him in the rhythm that he was in between the Rebel and the Arkansas Derby. I was extremely pleased for him to maintain his focus as well as he did today, with as much as there is to look at here, you know, Derby week, you know, the couple weeks leading up to the Derby. And I think that he is definitely turning into an excellent racehorse.
Both of them have different running styles. Can you just talk about
they are. They definitely are a complement to each other in that regard. Just speaking with Elliot after his work, that as handy as creator is in the morning in the way that he goes to the pole and breaks out. It is kind of surprising, his lack of speed away from the gates, but it is very effective for him. And, you know, we're comfortable with that. With that being said, you know, Gunrunner is a quick horse, extremely athletic, and capable of being very close to any pace.
Steve, what's this time of year like for you and just kind of having a stacked deck in both the Derby and the Oaks?
And right now it's a very proud time. I'm watching the fillies and the colts train and their colored towels and the physical shape that they're in and how well that they're traveling. You know, I'm extremely proud of the horses and the team that has got them in this condition.
Steve, do you think, I mean, with the crop that you have right here, this is maybe the best chance that you've had to win the Derby, or at least one of them?
I got Curlin beat in the Derby, and so I know that it's an event. The works today, I feel, indicate their soundness, mental and physical readiness for it. But what happens in a 20-horse field here, going a mile and a quarter, can eliminate any horse from victory.
Jude, I don't know about you, but I like what I'm hearing from Steve Asmussen in that little clip. And by the way, the full interview on our website, horseracingradio.net, there was plenty more, but we wanted to make sure we brought you a few others today. I like what I'm hearing from Steve. I like the approach. I like read between the lines, as we like to do. It sounds very positive. Everything coming out of that Asmussen barn is very positive at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs to learn to let the reporters finish the questions before he starts talking.
Hey, he's in the Hall of Fame. He can talk whenever he wants to talk.
Yeah, he'll get more polished at that. But you know, it sounds to me like he prefers Gunrunner over Creator. It just sounds like he's very excited about Gunrunner and said how athletic he was and how much more speed he has and that type of thing. So,
and he does. They're complete opposites in terms of their running style, right?
Right.
Gunrunner's
right.
Going to be more forwardly placed, and Creator going to be coming from much, much further back.
Yeah. Well, that interview, if that doesn't make you more of a Gunrunner fan, nothing would.
Yeah, I think Gunrunner has a shot. The Creator, he is going to be coming at the end. So if the pace gets too hot, then Creator might be the one to come and pick up the pieces late for owners Windstar Farm. And, of course, Ricardo Santana Jr. going to be in the irons aboard Creator next Saturday. All right, well, Steve was the first one. Bob Baffert, who everybody is familiar with, of course, the trainer of last year's Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, he is back at the Derby in a little bit of a different way this year. He comes in more under the radar with a horse by the name of More Spirit, and Bob caught up with the media to talk about More Spirit and his latest work.
He worked well today. He's a he's never been a real willing worker, so he needs a lot of so he put him into the work early, and so, you know, he got a good work today, and seems like he wasn't too hard on him. So.
Are you saying he doesn't normally go in 34 and 46?
No, he doesn't. He's really I think this track's pretty quick though. It is fast right now, and so but it was good for him. He got into it, and because when Gary worked him a few weeks ago, he started off slow and he sort of lost interest. But he seems to have gotten here. He's doing, you know, they like this. The surface is really kind on him, so he likes the surface.
Bob, I know we're all here now, but you know, last year, you know, your barn was seven deep of people. I mean, how much different is it this year?
Well, I mean, it's quieter, but it should be. And so, you know, we came in here with two really top, you know, one was undefeated, Dortmund, and then Pharoah had come off that race, ridiculous race at Oaklawn Park. So, you know, he was, you know, they stamped themselves, especially Pharoah, you know, the way he won. So it's a different vibe, but it's still exciting. It's still to be here, and Mr. Lund flew in from Maryland to watch his horse work. He's getting into it, so it was fun for him. He's learning, he's learning the process of it all.
Bob, you've won Kentucky Derby with Gary Stevens in the past with Silver Charm. You've won a lot of big races with him. Talk about what winning another Derby and teaming up with Gary Stevens would be like this year.
Well, it's fun with Gary because Gary is very, he's focused. He knows what we need to do, and you know, we're getting to know this horse every time he runs. And Gary's and it's fun with Gary, because Gary, we've been here, and as we're really getting older now, so we're really, I think we appreciate it more, and we're enjoying it more. Before, we used to come in here just all, you know, trying to win one of these things. But once you've been there so many times, you just, you know what you need to do, stay focused, enjoy yourself, as long as everything is going smooth, and so that's the whole key.
Bob Baffert catching up with the media and talking about that experience level and how you approach things a little bit differently now. And here's a guy, Bob Baffert, that not only has won the Triple Crown in 2015, but he's won four Kentucky Derbies. His jockey, Gary Stevens, has won three. He's one of only seven jockeys in history to ever pull off that feat. There's definitely an experience factor here, which comes into play with a horse like More Spirit. Is that enough to get him to the winner's circle with that Garland of Roses next Saturday?
Well, it probably doesn't have a tremendous amount to do with whether More Spirit wins or not. It's whether More Spirit's good enough.
Yeah. You know?
I mean,
is he?
I think so. I have a gut feeling that they've kind of been playing around with this horse, which sounds ridiculous.
Well, he said in that interview clip that they're getting to know him every time he runs.
Yeah.
Is that kind of along the same lines?
Yeah, maybe. You know, it just seems like this horse hasn't run his best race. And he's been a little bit of a pest to train. You know, he doesn't put a lot of effort into a lot of things. But I think he could be one of those horses that just explodes on Derby Day. You know how that happens sometimes? Like, a horse will come out of nowhere and just run this incredible race.
Yep.
And people say, where did that come from? But they have not been in a panic with this horse in any way, shape, or form. And Gary Stevens rides him like he doesn't care whether he wins or not. And I really think that's their mindset.
Yeah.
Their mindset is, we want to win the Kentucky Derby, so we don't care if he wins the San Anita Derby. We don't care if he doesn't like to work this morning. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care. We've done this before. We're not worried about it. And now we'll see the screws tighten. Obviously, you know, the work. Jenny kind of mentioned that it was a little bit more serious than where they've been in the past. And I just have kind of a gut feeling that this horse is going to run as good as he can run, whatever that is. If he's, you know, good enough, he could definitely win the Derby.
Well, and he should get a very good trip as well. He has that tactical speed, maybe sitting in the, you know, fifth, sixth position, should be in a good position under Gary Stevens to make a run late, and he can certainly finish. So we'll see if More Spirit can give Bob Baffert a fifth victory in the Kentucky Derby, and then Gary Stevens would, of course, join the late Bill Shoemaker with four if he could pull that one off, and we'll see if they can get it done next Saturday. Chad Brown also met with the media earlier this week, and he sent out his two Derby contenders, My Man Sam and Shagoff, and he started talking about My Man Sam.
He's not a great workhorse, just some maintenance work. He worked early this morning. I thought he worked terrific.
And Shagoff, just talk about his morning.
He's a little different. We worked him by himself for the first time. He's been getting a little aggressive in his work, so I thought he went terrific. I'm just so thrilled with his work. He's a little bit better of a workhorse. Got over the surface well, galloped out strong.
Yeah, they did look like two very different works. Is that just because they're two very different horses?
They really are, yeah. And as they develop, you know, we adjust their training. And Shagoff's just a bigger, stronger, more willing workhorse. So we sent him alone today. And like I said, it's the best he's ever worked in my eyes. And My Man Sam's a horse that appreciates some company. He's never been real flashy in the morning. That's exactly how he works when he runs well. Just some easy maintenance work. He galloped out strong. I read flew in to breeze that horse, and he was just over the moon about it. And so both horses did what we want him to do.
Can you sort of talk about My Man Sam? He's kind of a little bit under the radar because he hadn't been in a lot of the big races until the Bluegrass.
Yeah, he's only run one stake race, and he ran terrific from the 14 post in the Bluegrass. Was lucky enough to get up for a second and get the points to be in this position. A rapidly developing horse with a lot of talent that should get a mile and a quarter.
Can you take us back to the trip for Shagoff and the wood, just to, you know, his trip there?
Yeah, the whole situation didn't really work for him. You know, first of all, the racetrack, it just wasn't for him. It rained all day, and he'd only run on dry track. He's undefeated on a dry track, and he just didn't even break well in the mud. And and did try to make a little bit of a run there around the final turn and ran into some horses in front of him, had to stop. As y'all can see this week when he's here, I mean, he's a huge horse with a big stride. He's like a big locomotive going downhill, and I'm not sure how much stopping you can do with a horse like that when you have his momentum going. And it's just one of those things that happens in horse race sometimes, but the track was dry today, and he worked terrific.
Would an off-track be a concern for Chagoff then, or are you going to hope that the Churchill Downs off-track's different from an Aqueduct off-track?
It's definitely be a concern. You know, if it was an off-track, you know, and he's training well, we'd certainly run. But we're praying for a dry track because, like I said, he's undefeated on a dry track. If by some chance it was an off-track, we'd be hoping that that's the case. Maybe it's just Churchill's off-track is different. But when a horse runs so uncharacteristically on an off-track and is only start on it, you're not really looking to run him on one.
Well, Chad Brown, very candid, talking about the potential for an off-track on Derby Day and what it would mean to the chances of a horse like Chagoff, who, as he said, a big horse that once he gets into stride and gets lumbering along, you don't want to break that momentum, and that's exactly what happened last time out in the Wood Memorial.
Yeah, he ran a very disappointing race. From what I understand, too, he's been a little bit of a handful in the morning. He's had a little bit of a history of that. So we'll see how he performs, but yeah, if it's an off track, you just circle Exaggerator and go on with your day.
Yeah, he did freak in the slop out at Santa Anita.
I'll tell you what, though, there was another reason that horse freaked. He was finally ridden properly. They took him back and made one run. Kent's always trying to get him to lay a little closer up and then move him around the turn, and he comes up short all the time. I think that horse is a one-run horse.
Yeah, and keep in mind, with 20 horses in the Kentucky Derby, it's not always the best horse that wins the race. It's the horse that gets the best trip and doesn't have any of those traffic troubles like Chagoff had in the Wood Memorial. You don't want to get stopped when you're making your run. That's what made rides like, you know, Street Sense and Mind That Bird so impressive, because Calvin was able to pretty much hug the inside rail the whole way around and never have to get stopped one time.
Mind That Bird still is one of the most amazing runs for a horse to run 5/8 of a mile like that. And then have, you know, I mean, it was like he was Moses, Calvin.
Yeah.
She changed his name to Moses that day because I mean, they just opened it up for him. He had the perfect trip.
Yeah, it was very, very impressive. All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back. We'll get you set for the second half of the program. That kicks off with Jenny Reese at 9 o'clock Eastern. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it. Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
A Grade 1 winner at 2 and fastest winner of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity in nearly 20 years.
Into Mischief wins the Cash Call Futurity!
The sire of 3 Kentucky Derby colts from his first 2 crops, including...
Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave.
The Louisiana Derby to the Louisiana Bred, Vickers in Trouble!
Into Mischief's biggest and best book of 2-year-olds is coming in 2016. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
She's already got a furlong to go. Libretta's alongside of her. Frosty Margarita, third in the center of the track. Libretta to the front. Libretta has taken the lead, and Luis Saez and Libretta will do it.
Libretta and She's Already, both daughters of Darley Stallion Girolamo, finished 1-2 in the New York Stallion Stakes this past Saturday. That all Girolamo exacta makes Libretta and Grade 1 filly She's Already your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. From Giro to Hero, Darley Stallion Girolama is among the cream of Kentucky's second crop sires, with only Uncle Mo and Twirling Candy having more black type horses than the handsome son of AP Indy. All of this success comes on the heels of a brilliant 2015 for Girolamo, represented by 19 first crop winners, including Grade 1 placed She's Already. Learn more about Girolamo and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's a great honor, great people to see him be here. You know, this is their plan. You know, it's crazy how came so quickly, but hopefully we'll continue to train well, stay healthy, and it's great for New Orleans. They do everything for New Orleans. They love New Orleans. They're from New Orleans, and you know, they're going to bring a great New Orleans feel for the race, I'm sure.
That's trainer Dallas Stewart talking earlier this week about the owners of Tom's Ready, Tom and Gail Benson, the owners, of course, of the New Orleans Saints. And, boy, it would be a huge win. And how about that, Jude? They not only have Tom's Ready in there, but they have Mo Tom, who was trained by Tom Amos. So they have 2 opportunities to pull off that elusive Derby win.
2 Toms, 2 horses. Deuce is wild, as Vin Scully would say.
Yeah, well, they should be locked into at least the second position with Dallas Stewart, right? At least, because the guy is the greatest at getting horses to peak on the first Saturday in May and run a huge race when it doesn't look like they have much of a chance.
Yeah, my dad used to like to bet on Howard Grant to place.
Not that Dallas isn't going to win it with Tom's Ready, right? But he is the greatest at getting horses. Remember, I mean, you look back on the horses that he saddled, and were all long shots, and they all rounded out a big exacta.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, Dallas has that reputation now, but Dallas is a guy who gets some nice horses, who does a great job with them, and flies under the radar. He's down in New Orleans for most of the winter time, and, you know, he's just laying low, doing his thing. So horses like that sometimes are not particularly... on everybody's radar. I think we have another horse like that this year in Mahesto, who is at Gulfstream Park West, formerly known as Calder.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, there's no reporters there. There's nobody sticking a microphone in Gustavo Delgado's face every day saying, "How's your horse doing?" And he's kind of flying below the radar now. He is supposed to work this morning, Friday morning. And so we'll see how that goes.
Do you like the idea of a horse not being at Churchill early and staying away from all of the commotion, or would you rather have them there to get a breeze over the track and start getting familiar with it?
Well, I think it just depends on the horse. I think, you know, Churchill's kind of a nice surface to train on. So I think if you can go to Churchill, that's fine. Some horses, you know, maybe... I don't think you really need a breeze over the track in order to run well. I don't think that's necessary, but depends on your horse. If your horse can handle a little hoopla and stuff, but I think the longer you can stay quiet and stay at home, the better off you are.
Well, we spent an hour visiting with Clifford Seish Jr. on our Trainer Talk program, which is presented by Fasic Tipton this past week. You can catch the show every Wednesday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern on Sirius XM.
And that show is podcast on our site now. But he is sending out Dan's and Candy, and he took that same approach. He's going to stay in California and then bring the horse over.
Yeah, I think that's fine. You know, his horse is a speed horse, and he seems to enjoy training at Santa Anita. So, you know.
Yeah, all right. Go check that interview out. Again, Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton with Clifford Seitz Jr. on our website now. Second half of the program coming up. Going to start it off with Jenny Reese from HRN, really. We're going to talk to her next. We're back with Hour 2 right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Nyquist drifting out to the center of the track, but he's far in front. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Florida Derby.
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My Man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front. Pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Oh, what an exciting time of year it is. We are edging closer to the first Saturday in May, and of course, all of our Derby Week coverage coming your way on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Now just 7 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 51 seconds away from the 142nd Run for the Roses. How about that?
It's amazing.
I'm fired up. Our coverage kicks off Tuesday morning. It is one of my favorite weeks of the year, and you know, I am not really a morning person, right? So for me to get up every morning at 5:30, whatever we have to do to get out there to the track and be there early, something about Derby Week, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah. Well, it's so exciting, and the lead-in shows are great. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I would rather just go out every morning and then watch on TV in the afternoon.
Yeah.
The mornings are great. I mean, Derby Week especially, there's so many people out there. Everybody's, you know, all hepped up on about the races, and it's just a very exciting time to be a racing fan. And then, you know, the afternoon, the pressure's on. That's when you have to prove yourself correct. So, no pressure in the morning. All the horses are champions in the morning.
Well, you can see a complete Derby Week broadcast schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net. 20 hours of Kentucky Derby Week coverage coming your way here on the network. We have you covered literally start to finish, and you'll hear all that coming up next week beginning Tuesday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, with the first of three consecutive Derby Countdown shows hosted live from Churchill Downs, presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, we are with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. We mentioned just 1 week away from the Kentucky Derby, and Jenny Reese is on site at Churchill Downs. She has been for the past several weeks, and you've heard her on multiple broadcasts with us as we've taken you down the road to the Kentucky Derby. And Jenny joining us now here on the Equine Forum. Jenny, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Welcome. It's really crazy right now. We're all waiting for Darren Rogers to post on Twitter the times of all these horses that just worked. I can give you some workout times if you're interested.
Yeah, I would love to. Let's just, in the interest of full disclosure here, we are recording this program on Friday morning, so the times you're giving us now are going to be the Friday morning workers. So go ahead and give us an update.
I tried to figure out a graceful way to do this because it's gorgeous today and it's supposed to rain tomorrow. I think you just have to, you know, full disclosure. Anyways, it was just so hard to keep track. Horses were galloping out as other horses were breaking off, and the Cocker stand was really crowded, and I thought this is the time of year that they get kind of annoyed of a lot of the medias up there. So I couldn't hear them calling off the time there, but Nicole Russo from the Daily Racing Forum has helpfully been reading them off to me off of a Churchill Twitter feed. I can tell you that Fellowship worked 47 and galloped out in a minute. Sudden Breaking News worked in 59-3 out in 113. Tom's Ready worked the Louisiana Derby runner-up, worked in 59-2. Chigoff worked in 47-4, picked it up from last week. Motom worked in 49. outwork, worked in 101 and a fifth in company with Azar, and Destin worked in 101 and company. I'll say one thing about Destin. He's kind of looked hot galloping recently, but he didn't look hot working today. So I think that's a good sign. Maybe he's just really getting acclimated. You could speak to that more. But a horse that went out now, and I'm camped by the Pletcher Barn waiting for the other media for an audience there. So I didn't go through the track, but just now when the regular population's working, Majesto went up with Javier Castellano, who rode him when he was second in the Florida Derby, but he's riding Destin in the Kentucky Derby. I guess he had to wait because assuming that Javier worked Destin. But this Majesto, I'm going to be interested to watch that work on video. This horse is going to be 40-50-1, and he's looked really good training. And he's going to be a big price, and I just think he's a horse that, you know, maybe you need to play and use in big gimmicks at least.
Jenny, I know Majesto maybe a horse has caught your eye. Has there been a horse that has been somewhat of an early buzz type of horse over at Churchill?
I can't say that just because not like you would have with Orb that one year and maybe in the next couple of days, but now that they've had these works and let it all digest. You know, I can't say Majesto's a buzz horse, but when people see him, they... You know, it's the ultimate compliment of a horse. He goes by, like, people say, man, that's a big, strong, pretty son of a bitch, you know, how they say. And it's like the ultimate compliment. If you train in horses, that's what you want. But I tell you, Gunrunners looked really good training, and Creators looked really good. They both worked really well. They'll work again Monday, nothing flashy, just the old easy half mile and 50 or so, the, you know, 5 days out of a race that Steve Asmussen does. But, you know, Outworks looked good. He has looked good training. I'm just trying to think of, you know, Mohaman. No, I didn't see Mohaman out on the track. But he worked, apparently. It was easy to miss horses, just obvious horses going by. He's looked really good training. It's just, I'm one of these people, I try to find historical patterns. And I just can't have a hard time, you know, betting a horse. History says a horse that runs and gets beat is 4 feet and 8 lengths in his last prep race isn't going to win the Kentucky Derby. They might win the Preakness. They might be second in the Kentucky Derby. So that's, I'm going to be looking at things like that, how they finish. You know, that's my big thing, the last eight, the last 3 eighths, you know, to narrow it down. But I've been on the Gunrunner bandwagon all along, and I haven't seen anything to sway me off it. But, you know, I'm just curious to see who's going to be the second choice. I'm going to be curious to see Exaggerator work. He shipped in to the barn next to Pat, my husband's, and this is becoming a betting angle because in 2008, you know, Pat having a small outfit, they move him around all the time. Well, Big Brown shipped into his barn and won. Last year, they moved Pat again. Right across the road was Baffert, where I had a real easy vantage point, you know, kind of could stay spying on him. And, you know, he won. So if Exaggerator wins, I'm going to think this is, yeah, I might have to sell Pat out, you know, from Derby time.
Yeah, when his big feet hit the floor, he's worth another 400.
Yeah, that's right. When his big feet hit the floor, I'll tell you, you'll
sell that.
You'll laugh.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Majesto, and let's go back to him for a minute, because a horse that really caught your eye, trained by Gustavo Delgado. Now, this is not a household name. He's not a Todd Pletcher. He's not a Bob Baffert. It's his first Kentucky Derby starter, but hey, he's a legend in his native Venezuela. He's trained 4 Venezuelan Triple Crown winners, so the guy knows how to get it done in a big race.
Yeah, and as long as they don't commingle with Venezuela, we're going to get a price on this horse. You know? Now the Venezuela money comes in late, but just for the reasons you say, he's not a household name. I tell you, who's helping him out is the guy that 30 years ago, I anointed Exercise Rider of the Stars, Jose Cuevas. He used to work for Bobby Frankel. He's worked for, a lot of top trainers. He's not getting on the horse. He's just helping with the horse. But I think that's always a good sign because he's certainly been around a lot of Derby horses.
Yeah, Cuevas, very, very sharp guy, knows his way around the racetrack. But, you know, that's a horse that I've had on my radar. After the Florida Derby, Javier was very excited about this horse. I think it's actually a good sign that he's working him this morning. I think Javier doesn't want to get too far away from him. And,
right, I think that you're exactly right. And hopefully when he comes back from working this horse, I'll be able to get some audio with him for Horse Racing Radio Network at horseracingradio.net. Because that's a great point, Jude, that, you know, he's thinking, okay, I can't ride him this time, but then they might split ways and wants to stay in the camp.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen with a horse. If Dustin doesn't make the Derby or whatever, I mean, it doesn't hurt to work him. And Javier obviously knows the horse, but he was really impressed with him after his race to Nyquist in Florida. And he's been on my radar since then. I think the other thing that helps the price is there's no reporters at Gulfstream Park West. There's actually nobody at Gulfstream Park West except maybe Gustavo Delgado and Majesto. So, you know, it's... It's a horse that doesn't get a lot of ink and nobody really knows about. Now our HRN listeners know, so they'll be able to take advantage of the 50-to-1 price.
If people were trying to find them, they'd probably Google Gulfstream Park West and Siri would direct them back to Gulfstream instead of, you know, because Siri probably thinks it's still called Calder.
I still call it Calder.
The track formerly known as Calder.
Jenny Reese joining us from Churchill Downs on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jenny, how about a horse that may be the biggest mystery to this year's field, and that's Lonnie, the UAE Derby winner, based in Japan for the majority of his career. He's only the second Japanese-based horse to compete in the Kentucky Derby, and the other one didn't fare so well. That was Ski Captain, who was 14th in 1995. What can you tell me about Lonnie?
Well, he was also ridden by Yutaka Taki, who's a legend in Japan. That's how long he's been riding. 21 years ago, he rode Ski Captain. And Taki came in from Japan to work the horse, such as the work was. This horse, he galps fast, and he galps like at least 2 miles a day. Sometimes they say he goes three. But he just doesn't seem like he wants to work. He was supposed to be a 5/8 work the other day. My husband was up at the clocker saying, Tammy, and he went the first quarter in 37. And so they didn't even time that part. They got him from the 3/8 and 37 and change out in 50, and this horse doesn't really gallop out. But, you know, I got to think he's plenty fit. Like I said, the way he gallops is just a weird thing. And Taki said, you know, this isn't a complete surprise. He does this sometimes. He just doesn't feel like it. He says, if he feels like running, I think he could be tough. I said, well, how do you know? Do you know, like in the post parade, you know, when the gate opens, out of the gate, then you start to find out. So, you know, let's applaud these people for trying to do this. They're spending a lot of money. The horse has been here since April 3rd, third quarantine in Chicago. You know, it's something that adds to Derby lore and international racing. But I the other thing is this horse, it looks like he's just got green mares on his mind more than running. He is just quite proud of himself. And I've never seen a horse so on display as Lonnie is. And, you know, I've asked some people about that, and they said, you know, you just kind of think he's not going to be focused on running. So maybe he'll fool us all. Maybe that's what you need. You know, like these football players at the, you know, the night before a big game go out and, you know, do the nasty. I'm trying to clean this up.
Wow, what do you have against football players?
The audience. You tell me, Jude. I mean, how much is that when a horse is that studdish? And he goes out there and he's like chattering, hollering. Like, I don't know if he's...
Wasn't California Chrome like that? Didn't he get to the paddock?
Not much. He did it in the paddock.
Yeah.
He'd get in the paddock like, hey, come and get me.
Isn't that worse?
One time he didn't do it was the Belmont.
He's really good looking, California Chrome, so he has something to crow about, I guess. But, you know, it's never been good in my experience to have a horse that studdish in the paddock. And, you know, you think about all the people that are going to be there on Derby Day, and it's going to be kind of a zoo. So I don't know. I just think... You're better off without it, but you know, stranger things have happened, I guess.
Yeah, that would, you know, look at Cannon Arrow. I mean, everybody was laughing about the way he was trained. You know, he didn't have a saddle, but what they were also doing that you can't get away with now, they were working him like in the middle of the night or whatever. but that was when the saddle went on. It was work time, and he did some serious work that just didn't get timed, so the track wasn't officially open.
Right,
and so, but people are all laughing about that, and then he wins, you know, 2/3 of the Triple Crown. So, different strokes for different folks. That would be certainly a very much an added chapter to racing lore if Lonnie would win the Kentucky Derby.
Let's talk about
And then he would be the man. Imagine what we would see. Imagine what he would do.
Then he would definitely be the man. He'd be filled with even more confidence, which maybe isn't what Lonnie needs, according to what we're hearing from Jenny Reese.
Yeah.
JT, let's do this. Let's talk about, and Jenny, we'll get your thoughts, a couple of horses that were really, really high on everybody's list just a few weeks ago. Even going back about a month ago, and now all of a sudden they might be a little more under the radar, at least one in particular, and that is Mo Heyman from the barn of Kieran McLaughlin. Jude worked here on Friday morning. You have the final time of his work today.
Yeah, they gave him 47-2. He went 12-3, 23-4, 35-2, and galloped out in a minute and 4/5. So that's Mo Heyman.
Yeah, I just would have seen him breaking off. And like I said, there was just a parade of him. I definitely want to go back and watch that one. Like I said, with Mo Heyman, he is an eye catcher. He's training very well. I just, again, just his history says he's going to be probably up against it off his last race.
Jenny, how about Brody's Cause? Have you seen him?
he's had good training, and he didn't work this morning. He galloped, so Friday. So we'll see when he's going to work. But he's certainly, if you go by speed figures, he just doesn't look like he's fast enough. He goes, well, I don't know about figures. All I know is that he came flying and circled the field of, 13 horses and won with authority. He said, that's good enough for me. He said, this is, as we talked about, as he said on HRRN before, he is the prototype of a Derby horse. But I'd be interested to see his final work.
Jenny Reese gets all choked up talking about Brody's Cause and talking about the Kentucky Derby, and I can't say I blame her at all. Jenny, I know you have to go get with Todd here. He'll be speaking with the media shortly. Before you do, though, about 1 minute, minute and a half left, just catch me up on a new initiative you're starting with the Kentucky HBPA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited about this. We hope that, maybe Monday of Derby week, I've been lining up all the 20-something and teenage sons and daughters of Derby trainers to tweet about the Derby experience, even before they get to town, because a lot of these kids, they're not going to get here till Thursday or Friday, but they've been at other races that these horses have run in, and they're going to be tweeting on the Kentucky HBPA Twitter feed, which is at KYHBPA. I'm really excited. The Kentucky HBPA is donating $100 to the charity of choice to each kid that participates. And so I hope everybody tunes in. And now, I'll tell you what, I thought we would get a chance at Javier Castellano, but he's going to go talk to Todd first, and Todd's not here. But I do promise, I hope to have for you all later, Javier Castellano and John Velasquez interviews.
Yeah, excellent. We'll have those posted up at horseracingradio.net. Jenny, really appreciate the time. Go enjoy your visit with Todd, and we'll look forward to those interviews coming up on the website later today.
Sounds great.
All right, Jenny Reese here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, she receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Trust me, it is as classy and alluring as the game itself. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. How much Embrace the Race swag do you think Jenny Reese has for coming on the program?
Probably a closet full. I wish I had more to tell you.
She always wants more. Yeah, I mean, it is beautiful, beautiful stuff. You can check it out, embracetherace.com. Gary Falter from OwnerView is going to join us right around 9:25 Eastern. He's going to tell you about the next OwnerView conference, which you can take part in, which comes up Breeders' Cup week, actually. We'll be out there to cover the Breeders' Cup, and they'll be out there to bring you the next OwnerView conference, so we'll tell you about that. And then Mike Willman is going to join us from Santa Anita at the end of the program. Of course, he'll talk about the West Coast Derby horses, including Exaggerator, the Santa Anita Derby winner, and he'll preview the upcoming race meet, which kicks off on Thursday. It is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Ben's Cat. Remember him? He's set for a 10-year-old debut. That's right. Maryland-bred Ben's Cat, a multiple grade 3 winner, is set to make his 10-year-old debut in the fourth race May 1st at Laurel Park, a 5.5 furlong turf allowance. Bred, owned, and trained by Hall of Famer King Leatherberry, Ben's Cat drew the outside in the field of 9 and will have current meet leading rider Trevor McCarthy aboard for the first time. Quote, this is our comeback race. Leatherberry said, "We were fortunate to have this race fill. He's good. He's doing well for an old boy. And me too." King Leatherberry. That is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, head over to bloodhorse.com and remember to check out Blood Horse Daily. You can do that each and every time you go to bloodhorse.com. And we're back to visit with Gary Falter from OwnerView right after this short break on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop had been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Count Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off in New York. The premier stakebred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Looking for a printing company who's fast enough to keep up with the thoroughbred industry? Well, look no further. Copy Express has been meeting the needs of the thoroughbred industry for over 30 years with award-winning quality print jobs, including stallion brochures, sales cards, hip cards, postcards, and letterhead, just to name a few. Whether you're a large farm or a one-man crew, Copy Express is here for you. Located in the horse country of Lexington, Kentucky, call 859-255-2679 or visit them at copyexpresslex.com.
Claiborne Farm presents Blaine. A three-time Grade 1 winner with earnings over $4.3 million, Blaine's historic victory over Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic solidified his Eclipse Award as champion older male. At stud, Blaine was the leading second crop sales sire with yearlings bringing up to $600,000 and the leading second crop sire with 8 graded stakes horses, including 2015 winners March, Onus, and Far From Over. Blaine at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zulu and Moheyman have run 3/4 in 111 flat, and they're coming to the top of the stretch in the Fountain of Youth. Fellowship is trying to come and get them from third, and they're into the stretch, and it's Moheyman who has taken the lead on the outside. Moheyman to the front, pulling away from Zulu. Fellowship is third as Moheyman pulls away. And Moheyman remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu. And then it was Fellowship, followed by Awesome Speed.
Larry Colmus brings him home in the Fountain of Youth Stakes, and Mo Heyman, boy, he was everybody's darling after that powerhouse performance. He came back, didn't run his race in the Florida Derby when he finished well back of Nyquist in that great showdown, East meeting West, but it went to the West Coast. Mo Heyman coming to Churchill Downs for next Saturday's Kentucky Derby, and he is a horse that is flying under the radar, as we told you in that last segment with Jenny Reese. Jude, maybe a rebound type of horse in the making here, if Kieran has anything to say about it. This is a horse that is very, very talented, and if he puts it all together next Saturday, he could be one of the ones to watch out for.
Well, he's going to have to really make a big rebound, and he's been a little difficult training in the morning. Reportedly was leaping and acting a little bit jerky going to the pole today, but leveled out in his work and did all right. But he's kind of been a little rambunctious. Maybe just needs to do more. We'll see what happens.
Well, if you're just joining us, all of our Derby Week coverage, 20 hours taking you all the way through the 142nd Kentucky Derby, kicks off on Tuesday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. It is the first of three consecutive Derby countdown shows hosted live from Churchill Downs, presented by your Lexington, Kentucky Derby, Kentucky area, Kentucky Derby, Lexington, Kentucky area, Jimmy John's. Make sure you tune in and see a complete broadcast schedule, SiriusXM channel information, and a listing of affiliates at horseracingradio.net. Gary Falter is with OwnerView, and coming up later in the year, in conjunction with Breeders' Cup Week at Santa Anita, you will have the chance to attend the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. This is the third Thoroughbred Owner Conference that they've had. The first two have been wildly successful. The next one taking place October 31st to November 3rd at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. And Gary Falter is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Gary, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Good to be back. Hi, Jude. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good.
Gary, this next conference is going to be exciting, but I want to start by taking a step back and looking at the first two, in particular, the one that you had earlier this year at Gulfstream Park that I had the opportunity to be part of. I think you had to be very, very pleased with the turnout and with the roster of guests that you were able to put together and the topics you were able to cover. A huge success.
Yeah, you know, Mike, our goal is every time we host one of these conferences to step it up a bit. You know, when we hosted it at Keeneland, went very, very well, had great feedback, wonderful attendance, and people came up to us and said, you know, how are you going to top this year over year? And that's the challenge, and we did that at Gulfstream Park. It was a great week. It was a week of the Eclipse Awards. We had several Eclipse Award-winning owners on panels and connections, so that made a lot of fun for our guests to be able to mingle with them and talk with them. Had a great lineup of panelists. You were a moderator, did a great job. Tom Durkin did another great job as our master of ceremonies. And Jim Rowe, my gosh, he was our keynote speaker, and what a fabulous job he did. I mean, he had the audience, you know, on both ends of the spectrum, from emotion, from, you know, really enjoying and laughing and having a good time talking about his successes, and then also the emotion of losing shared belief. And what's interesting about, you know, Jim Rome and even Gary Player, who did our keynote at Keeneland, is the audience, which are thoroughbred owners at all levels from all over the country, you know, they can relate to those experiences because we've all been there. You know, we've all had those highs and those lows. And so, you know, here's a person, a celebrity that's been a racehorse owner for years, and Jim Rome and Gary Player talking about their experiences, and everyone in the audience connected with that.
Well, you mentioned trying to make each one bigger and better. I don't know how you're going to top a Gary Player and a Jim Rome. Who's next? President Obama? I don't know what you bring in next to top those two.
Well, we have an offer out, and we should know within the next couple of weeks whether that offer has been accepted for the keynote. But it's exciting who we've invited, and I think it'll be right along the same lines, and it'll be someone that the audience will love to hear. I'll love to hear. And I can't announce it yet because we don't have confirmation, but once we know who the keynote's going to be, I'll email you or I'll call you, Mike, and you can announce it first.
I'll make sure I get that acceptance back to you very shortly, Gary. Hey, if we're trying to go bigger and better, you might as well go with the Baron, right?
Well, you know, our goal is to always have a thoroughbred owner with some celebrity status where people know who they are. And, you know, there's a number of them out there. And you know, if we get a confirmation on this offer, we'll actually send out a press release.
Yeah, I can't wait to announce it here on the program.
Yeah, you got to get somebody higher than the G list, right?
Not hard to do. So, Gary, in terms of what folks can expect when they attend a Thoroughbred Owner Conference, we've talked about it on the program multiple times. What can folks expect when they come to Santa Anita October 31st to November 3rd?
Well, you know, we've got a great lineup of topics, of speakers, guests that are going to be there. We're going to have some celebrities there. We've got a really fun panel on Wednesday about horses in Hollywood, where Nick Clooney is going to MC this, and we're going to invite some of the celebrities from those different movies, Secretariat, Seabiscuit, 50 to 1, Dreamer, to be on stage with Nick Clooney. And so what our guests are going to find is the panels and the topics will be very informative from a thoroughbred ownership perspective. I mean, that's the goal, is to come here and learn more about thoroughbred ownership, whether you're new to the game or even if you've been in the business for 30 years. So that's number one, is it needs to be informative. But we always want to make this fun and entertaining. So we have social events and activities going on throughout the week, you know, that make this truly an event for owners to attend on an annual basis. We've aligned ourselves with the Breeders' Cup. Makes a lot of sense to host this during Breeders' Cup week, and we'll do that next year at Del Mar and then the following year at Churchill Downs. So just aligning with the Breeders' Cup, you know, brings an awful lot to the conference. Plus, we've incorporated some of the Breeders' Cup week activities into the schedule. So Monday evening, when they have the classic draw and reception in the chandelier room there at Santa Anita, our conference guests will be invited to enjoy that. And then on Tuesday morning, the breakfast marquee, the trackside breakfast marquee, is something that will be open for our conference guests to enjoy and see the Breeders' Cup contenders work out there from the marquee. And then to top things off, if the conference wasn't enough with all the great speakers and topics and so on, all of our guests will have tickets reserved, grandstand seating for both days of the Breeders' Cup Championships on Friday and Saturday.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're excited. We really appreciate the Breeders' Cup aligning with us. We haven't really started our ad campaign yet. We're going to kick that off real soon. We just last week started taking registrations, and the registration fee has not changed. It's $750 for the full week, and that includes everything that I've mentioned. We also have a registration for social events only, because some spouses and friends and partners want to attend with owners, but they may not want to sit through the business panel. So we have a reduced fee at $400 for the social events only, and that also includes the Breeders' Cup tickets. And just last week, we started taking registrations, and one thing I try to point out to a lot of our sponsors is this is a national conference. This isn't just a conference for California. When we were in Florida, we had guests from all over the country, same at Keeneland. And so far in just the first week, we've got registrations from New York, Florida, Maryland, Texas, state of Washington, obviously California. We have some registrations from there already. And we even got a registration the other day from a lady in Great Britain.
Wow. Well, you know, one thing that always stood out to me in being part of the first two conferences, Gary, and by the way, talking with Gary Falter from OwnerView, the next conference coming up in October, the end of October, is the various topics that you were able to cover. And for somebody that's new, and even some experienced owners had come up to me and said, boy, that was really interesting. I learned something new, and I've been in the game a long time. From the business aspect to it, with accounting, and you've had attorneys on the panels talking about the legal things that aren't necessarily sexy, but then you also, you know, bring in jockeys and trainers who have had success in the sport. So there's a wide range of topics that have been covered, and I think it's beneficial for new owners and for current owners as well.
Yeah, I'm real excited about the panelists and the topics we have this year. You know, we have on Monday, a panel of business considerations for racehorse ownership. And so, you know, we have an attorney there, we have an accountant, we have a trainer, we have an owner, we have an agent. And that's kind of the nuts and the bolts of racehorse ownership. And I was told last year by several owners who are long-term owners that sat through a similar panel at Gulfstream Park. They said that that information was invaluable to them. So that's not just a panel for newcomers. Certainly like to have as many newcomers as we can bring in, but anybody would benefit from that panel. And then the owners, we got a great lineup of owners. These are all Breeders' Cup winning owners. So Barbara Banky, Billy Koch, who had Singletary several years ago, Dean Reeves, who had Mucho Macho Man, John Ammerman, who had Adoration at Arlington Park, and Ken Kanakin, who had a horse, I'm trying to think of that, Dancing in Silks. He won that four-way photo finish at the Breeders' Cup several years back. A horse I think he paid $21,000 for, and the horse wins the Breeders' Cup sprint. So what a great lineup that is. And then our jockeys, I mean, Chris McCarron, Gary Stevens, Lafitte Benkai, Mike Smith, Victor Espinoza. I mean, when that panel's over, I want to get all those guys' autographs.
Yeah, you couldn't get any Hall of Famers? What the heck?
Yeah. And then the trainers, another great lineup of trainers. Simon Bray, who's back, is going to moderate that panel. Art Sherman, obviously California Chrome. Bob Baffert, needs no introduction. You know, Doug O'Neill, you know, he's got Nyquist in the Derby. Owen Hardy, Richard Mandela, you know, great lineup of trainers that are going to be on the panel. And what we're going to do with the panels this year is at Gulfstream Park, we have some breakout sessions in the afternoon so that our guests could have some private Q&A sessions with the panelists. And that worked very well, except the fact that we had all three of the breakout sessions going at the same time. And the feedback we received from our guests were stagger those or hold them at different times so the, you can go to multiple breakout sessions. So what we'll do this year is when the panel is over, we'll hold the panelists for about a half hour, 45 minutes for an open Q&A session. And then our guests will be able to you know, have some time just sending questions to the panelists and learning even more about ownership.
Well, it's a great roster, and people would really benefit from being part of this conference. Again, it's the Thoroughbred Owner View Conference. It comes up October 31st at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. And you can also attend the Breeders' Cup if you attend the conference. So a lot of things to take advantage of. Gary, how can folks go ahead and sign up? They're listening right now. They want to be part of this. How do they do it?
Well, our website, ownerview.com. Just go to our website. We have a menu option titled Owner Conference. When you click on that, it takes you to our landing page. There's an option there for the conference schedule if you want to review the schedule. And on the on both of those pages, there's a registration option. And, you know, we have a couple good host hotels lined up in the Arcadia area. They're going to fill up fast. So if anybody is planning to be there, would suggest get registered sooner versus later. We'll have plenty of room for all of our guests, but I know hotels in that Santa Anita area are at a premium, and we do have two hotels lined up.
All right, make sure you go there now, ownerview.com. Don't delay. Take advantage of that great, great conference coming up. It's going to be gangbusters in conjunction with the Breeders' Cup and with all those special guests as well. Gary, as always, really appreciate the time, my friend, and as soon as you know that keynote speaker, let us know and we'll get the word out for you.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right, Gary Falter, ownerview.com. Jude, those were the conferences were so beneficial, and I love the fact that what they're doing with their breakout sessions is going to be done differently this year, because when they split it up last year, you had three different panels. And he, as he said, all three breakout sessions where people could ask questions were going on at the same time. So they had to pick and choose which one they wanted to go to. Now they're going to have the opportunity to be sitting in the audience, listen to the guests, and ask questions immediately following. Much better format.
Yeah, well, that's great. And, you know, it sounds like the lineup of guests is just outstanding. So
tremendous.
A lot of people will want to take advantage of that.
All right, well, we are going to be joined in just a few minutes by Mike Willman, who is, speaking of Santa Anita, on site at the Great Race Place. He's going to tell you about the Derby horses coming in from the West Coast. He'll look back on some of those Derby preps, including the Santa Anita Derby, and he'll tell you about that upcoming Santa Anita meet, which begins on Thursday. But before we do that, it is time for your KTA KTOB Spotlight, and, well, why not plug the Derby Trainer Dinner for you? Because we are going to be there to bring you exclusive coverage of that KTA-KTOB Derby Trainer Dinner on Tuesday evening, this next Tuesday. Make sure you join us exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. It is such a great event. All of the Derby trainers are in attendance. They have a great dinner. And then hosts Jill Byrne and Paul Rogers bring them all up on stage. And it's a different type of interview. They're not asking them necessarily, hey, how's your horse doing? It's about, having a little bit more fun. It's more lighthearted. I think you're really going to enjoy it. So make sure you join us for that coverage of the Kentucky Derby Trainers Dinner presented by the KTA KTOB on Tuesday evening. Cocktails are at 6, dinner's at 6:45. Of course, you can still get tickets if you want to attend. It's at the Hyatt Regency Ballroom in Louisville, Kentucky. And here's some factoids that we can throw out there for you on Derby and Oaks. How about this? 90% of all the top qualifiers for the Run for the Roses and the Lilies are Kentucky breds. 90%. 18 of the top 20 Kentucky Derby contenders are Kentucky bred, and 18 of the top 20 Kentucky Oaks contenders are Kentucky bred. That's right. Kentucky bred means quality bread. Make sure you support the KTA KTOB and support Kentucky breads because they are winning all over the world. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back. Mike Willman's going to join us as we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Racing fans, Santa Anita's 2016 spring meeting gets underway this Thursday, May 5th, with first post time at 2 p.m. And come join the party on Saturday, Kentucky Derby Day, as admission gates open at the Great Race Place at 7:15 a.m. Can Santa Anita-based Nyquist and Exaggerator parlay victories in the Florida and Santa Anita Derbies and continue Southern California's reign of dominance in the Run for the Roses? Do the Derby at Santa Anita and experience racing's biggest day in a way you'll never forget. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Kirkwood Stables has a long and storied history of producing and selling winners at the highest level.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset.
And Memories of Silver draws clear.
Soaring softly, the queen of the American green.
Glenn Pretty holds on to the oaks.
It is Winter Memories. Victorious again.
Visit this year's Kirkwood consignments at the upcoming OBS March and April sales. Kirkwood Stables, proven success. Learn more at kirkwoodstables.com.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Here comes Exaggerator, mounting a mighty bid around the outside as they turn for home in the million-dollar Santa Anita Derby. And Exaggerator has gone straight past them like they were tied to the rail. At the eighth pole, Exaggerator five lengths over Uncle Lino, More Spirit and Dancing Candy. But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby over More Spirit, Uncle Lino, and Dancing Candy fourth.
Michael Rona with the call of the Santa Anita Derby, and Exaggerator could not have been any more impressive that afternoon. He is going to be in action next Saturday in the Run for the Roses. Of course, a race you'll hear exclusively with us in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. Visit horseracingradio.net for a listing of affiliates, SiriusXM channel information, and to listen online. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back in our Lexington studios. JT, Exaggerator, so impressive that day. And a lot of people thinking he may be the second, maybe the third choice in the Derby off of that effort.
Yeah, well, you'd have to think so. I mean, he's got the best numbers in the race, and certainly the Santa Anita Derby, a fantastic performance.
Well, Mike Willman is the director of publicity at Santa Anita. He was there for that effort. Mike, first of all, good morning. Welcome to the show. Appreciate you getting up early. How good was that effort by Exaggerator?
Hey, good morning. It was really good. That, you know, a lot of people had built-in excuses due to the conditions. You know, it was a true muddy track that day. We had had quite a bit of rain leading in, and I mean, Exaggerator, he just really seemed to relish it. You know, his race in the San Vicente was outstanding, and behind Nyquist, I was on his bandwagon in San Felipe, and he bombed. And like so many other people in this business, I made the mistake of jumping off real quick, and he came back with his A race there. I'm inclined to agree with the brothers DeSormo. I think he's the real deal. He's certainly not going to be favored, due to the question marks coming out of the Santa Anita Derby. But I think he's very, very legitimate. We're going to have a fast pace. They love that. Keith told me after the race, you know, I asked him, are you going to be doing a rain dance back there at Churchill? He said, no, more than anything else, I'm going to be doing a dance for a fast pace. And they really believe if they get a fast pace, and they should, that they got a huge chance. And I would have to agree with them.
Well, you know, I really liked him in the Santa Anita Derby. I thought he was almost a cinch. And he Kent finally rode him properly. I think the mud really helped him, but I think the fact that Kent took him back and made one run, you know, he was always asking him early, trying to move on the turn, trying to open up into the stretch, and the horse would hang. But I think that one run style is what he really wants to do. And he got to do that, and it was super impressive.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for that. And Jude, I really want to give you props. I don't know if you're aware or not, but Doug O'Neill, has been up front saying, you know, when you got the favorite coming into the Kentucky Derby, you know, people are asking you a lot of questions about a lot of things. And Doug has really been up front saying, the guy who got me going in this game was Jude Feld. He's the first guy to hand me a shank, to give me a chance. And, hey, Jude, you ought to feel good about that. You know, Doug's doing very, very well. You know, I can't say enough about Doug and his brother Dennis. I think they're great for our business. And it's no surprise to me that Jude Feld is the guy that kind of got him going in the game.
Well, I appreciate that. Doug's always very nice, very thoughtful about mentioning me, and you know, he's a great guy. We've been friends ever since he started working for me. I'm actually gonna do some B-roll with him today. They're NBC's doing a story about him for the Derby, of which I've been included, which is also a very nice thing. Alan Cutler is heading up that story. But you know, it's been a great role. We were together through Derby and Preakness when he won with All Have Another, and it's very flattering, really, that Doug does take the time. But I've had a lot of guys go through my program that are super successful. Pete Miller was an assistant of mine. You know, Aaron Wellman from Eclipse Thoroughbreds worked for me from the time he was like 5 years old. So my brother Bob. I mean, I've had a lot of guys come through. I'm not Dwayne Lucas. I don't have Pletcher and Kieran, but I've had some guys come through my barn that have done very well for themselves, and I'm proud of all of them.
Well, listen, Jude, when you're with NBC today, be sure to get in a plug for Curling the Mischief. You know, the time is right.
That's why they asked me. I don't do plugs.
Mike Willman, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, with us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, you talk about Exaggerator and how good he was. What do we do with More Spirit, who was runner-up yet again in that Santa Anita Derby?
I don't know what you do with him. I mean, he's certainly a horse that if he puts it all together, he could be a factor. Just not for me, and I might be wrong, but not this year. He's not an easy horse to ride. Things seem to have to go his way. But, you know, he's got a lot of talent, but there's going to be some others that I would be looking to other than More Spirit for my money.
You know, my impression of him is like Gary and Bob have kind of been screwing around with him. They haven't really, you know, set him down. I think he's one of those horses. He may flop in the Derby, or he may run the best race of his life. You know, I'm really interested to watch him train at Churchill Downs and see what I think of him in the flesh, because I haven't had a chance to watch him train ever. So, but you know, he's one of those horses. It seems like they didn't care if they won any of the preps. They were just kind of getting him ready for the Derby. And I got a gut feeling he might explode on Derby Day, or, you know, he might just run in reverse. But it's going to be all or nothing for him, I think.
I couldn't argue with you, Jude, really.
Well, it's going to be exciting. Of course, all that action coming up next week. We kick off 20 hours of Derby Week coverage on Tuesday morning here on the network. Visit our website for a complete Derby Week schedule. Mike, you are also going to have a very busy week. Outside of the Kentucky Derby, you kick off your next meet on Thursday, and then you have a big Derby party on Saturday there at Santa Anita. It's going to be a huge weekend. Fill me in on what we can look forward to with the upcoming meet.
Well, we open next Thursday, May 5th, and this is the first time we've had this three-week break where Los Alamitos has been running. Now, this is their final weekend. So I think there's some pent-up demand, and we've got a new post time for our regular days. We'll open on Thursday and the second day Friday with a graded stakes each day with a 2 p.m. start. And then on Derby Day, the gates open 7:15. We got a whole bunch of events going on. I'd encourage anybody who's in the area, go to santaanita.com and find out more about it. Our first live race post time on Derby Day is at 12 noon. And, you know, hey, we're excited because look, Southern California has been the base for three out of the last four Kentucky Derby winners. And for us, I think it's really important now, with Hollywood Park having gone away, we're proving to the world that this is still the place to train on a year-round basis. I mean, we're proving it. I couldn't be any higher on Nyquist, and I think it's exciting for everybody here at Santa Anita and in Southern California. You know, here's a horse that they've developed out here, and he just has not made any mistakes. So, you know, if he were to win the Derby, obviously that sets the table for the Preakness. And then, you know, wherever you are, if you have a shot at a Triple Crown winner, business is going to be brisk. But it's exciting, and we've proven now, ever since Hollywood Park has gone away, that our situation at Santa Anita on Kentucky Derby Day is just been tremendous. So people love coming to the great race place.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's a beautiful venue. Speaking of which, Breeders' Cup down the road, and big announcement about you guys and Del Mar partnering up for $1 million bonus.
Yeah, that's by the way, did Del Mar get that news out?
Yes.
That's been brewing for like 3 weeks. That's great. You know, I think it's an added enticement, in particular to California Chrome. That $1 million bonus is if you win the Pacific Classic, the Awesome Again, which is our grade one at a mile and one eighth in front of the Classic, And then the Classic itself at Santa Anita, you get $1 million bonus. So that's very, very enticing. So, you know, I mean, if everything comes together, can you imagine, you know, we get California Chrome back from TaylorMade there in Kentucky after the Derby out here to Los Alamitos. He starts training, and then the Triple Crown trail will have been traveled, and, you know, maybe everything starts coming together late summer with that Breeders' Cup Classic in mind. It's incredible to think about.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And I can't think of a better venue, well, for racing in general, because Santa Anita is just so ridiculously beautiful. And you mentioned training there with all the Derby winners that have come out of there in recent years, Mike. But a venue for the Breeders' Cup, it is just tailor-made for an event like that.
Well, I mean, we're virtually assured, not 100% obviously, but we're virtually assured every year of good weather. For television purposes, it's incredible. That said, I mean, hey, you have to readily acknowledge Keeneland hit it out of the park this last fall. They had a tremendous event. And now, you know, Churchill and the Breeders' Cup, they had kind of been sideways. They're back together, so that announcement was made, you know, that Churchill's back in the rotation. So, and Churchill's had some tremendous Breeders' Cups, as we know. It's a great place to ship into from anywhere in the world. I mean, we'd like to have it on somewhat of a regular basis. I think we will. That'll all be sorted out in time. But it's exciting to think about. And I'll tell you what, from my chair as director of publicity at Santa Anita, you know, when you have that Breeders' Cup on the horizon in the fall, it really helps everything. It truly does.
Now, Mike Willman, director of publicity at Santa Anita, with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, exciting times, the Derby on the horizon, the Breeders' Cup, really not all that far off. It'll be here before we know it. As always, appreciate the time, and like all of our guests who do appear on the program, you will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and all the best with opening day and with Kentucky Derby Day.
Okay, thanks so much, and go Team O'Neill, go Nyquist, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Get it done.
Well said, Mike Willman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to step away for a quick word from the sponsor of this Road to the Kentucky Derby segment, that is Gainsway, and we'll come back and wrap this one up and look ahead to what's coming up on the horizon.
Power.
It's Ricardo Santana Jr., it's creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Passion.
Lonnie in front, it's Japan's Derby. Lonnie has beaten Polar River, You Change, and Vale Dory.
Performance. Mo Hey Man pulls away. And Mo Hey Man remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu.
Gainsway stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire who was once again number one in 2016, with three major Kentucky Derby contenders, Arkansas Derby winner Creator, UAE Derby hero Lonnie, and Mo Hey Man, dominant winner of the Holy Bull and Fountain of Youth. In all, Tappet has already produced seven graded stakes horses and four graded stakes winners this year, and has once again proven to be a force in the sales ring as the leading worldwide two-year-old sire with an average of $870,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Fell, back with you on the Equine Forum. Getting ready to wrap this one up. It's been a very busy show. We covered a lot of ground, talked a lot of Derby. You're going to hear more Derby talk beginning next week, Tuesday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. The first of three Derby countdown shows coming your way here on the network, presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. We want to thank all of our sponsors throughout the week, including TwinSpires.com, who will be intimately involved with several of our broadcasts. Looking forward to getting over there and launching all that coverage, JT.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Can't wait to watch the horses train in the morning and hang out at our tent on Tuesday morning and greet all the visitors and have some fun.
By the way, in case you're wondering, 7 days, 8 hours, 36 minutes, and 10 seconds away from the Kentucky Derby.
Won't be long now, as the girl said to the sailor.
No, it definitely will not, and we can't be more proud to present the Kentucky Derby once again this year for you. The fifth consecutive year we'll have that coverage here on the network. Before we wrap things up, and we only have a minute or two left, I want to thank my man Tony Ricci down at Tony's, which is the newest steakhouse here in Lexington. Been there now for a few months, but it is just absolutely incredible how good the food is there and the way you're treated when you walk in the door. Went there last night with Billy White, who is the Jimmy John's Uncle Matty-O's man here in Lexington, and we had a tremendous dinner. But my wife is all gluten-free, and they brought out the polenta. They were going to bring out polenta. She found out it wasn't gluten-free, but the way they prepare it. So Tony found this out. He went back to the kitchen, had him prepare it a special way. It was to die for. The polenta was incredible. She had the sea bass. She loved it. I had the steak, of course. Tremendous. Go see him. They do a tremendous job, and they really do treat you like family.
Yeah, it's a great place. Dennis Lynch took Gretchen and I out the other night from Fasig Tipton. He was in there with Evan Ferraro. We had a great time.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. Our thanks to all the guests for joining us here this morning. Lori Douglas from Farm Paint, Jenny Reese, Gary Falter from Owner View, and Mike Willman from Santa Anita. Next time you hear from us, it's going to be Tuesday morning, live from Churchill, 8 a.m. Visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a podcast of all of our shows and for a complete Kentucky Derby week schedule.
Catch up now. Bring your hemorrhoid cushion.
1 week Don't away. Be late. Run for the roses. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.